The following episode may contain sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm here for that. That was very
soothing. Must go on.
I'm Tracy.
And I am Nikki. And we're here to judge. But we can't judge too hard. Otherwise, Tracy's going to start coughing.
I am. Can you tell I'm all congested and sick and I'm sucking on a cough drop? So sorry if you hear the click against my teeth.
Oh, but I see that.
Poor baby.
Tracy's a little sick today, so we apologize that her sexy voice is not as sexy as usual.
But it should be sexier. Remember, like, what is it, Phoebe? When Phoebe she was on Buffet. Friends, and she was like, my stinky shoe, my stinky
my stinky stinky.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I'll channel
Baby.
That.
Baby!
Yeah! I'm gonna channel so Phoebe good. Today.
Yeah. Okay, how's it going? So you've been sick for a few days now. So
I have.
Everyone, give it up for Tracy. She showed up today, even though I'm sure her body was like, bitch, we gotta rest. Hey.
I mean, hey, listen, I've been resting and I'm glad to have this. So
good.
No,
it's a little break from reality.
Well, yeah, I'm being like, I'm sick.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were gonna text me. Boo you, whore.
No, I was like getting my ish together. I actually was doing some laundry. I was trying to be responsible because I'm gonna go to work tomorrow. So I was like, I need to get my life together. So I was doing laundry, and I hate leaving things sitting in the dryer, and then even if I throw it in my bed, I want to, like, lay it out a little bit so it doesn't wrinkle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was, like, trying to hurry.
Yeah. So I'm doing laundry today, too.
Yay, Wednesday. Hump day is laundry day.
Yes.
How sexy.
Yes, it is. Super sexy, guys. You know?
Yeah. So I'm boring. What have you been up to? Please let me live vicariously through you. Be more exciting.
What did I do?
Don't disappoint me.
It was my birthday.
Yay!
It was my actual birthday.
Yes.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
It was my actual birthday 2 days ago. It was on Monday. I need to be wiser about my choices. So I had made up my mind, like, I'm not gonna work on my birthday. I ended up working because, like, one of the members convinced me because it was his birthday too. And I had a great time teaching. It's not that I didn't, but I would have preferred to slept in, you know.
Yeah.
And it is important, you know, and I,
yeah,
and it might not be a holiday, but it's a holiday for me. Right. So after this year, I'm making the decision that I will not be working because I always end up working on my birthday.
Because
like, oh, let's celebrate together.
Right.
And I'm like, oh yeah, people pleasing all the way. So I need to, like, put my foot down. So this year I am making the decision that I will not be working again on my birthdays. I'm going to take that day for me. But
I can't wait to play this clip back next year. And you being like, so I worked today. You're like, what did we learn?
Guys, Remember episode something something or 39 yeah, like or something 30, like 39. That?
Episode Nikki has learned nothing a year later.
She's still the same girl.
No, I believe you. So that's good. Yeah, like, it's take care of yourself.
I was borderline like, no, I'm not going to. And then, yeah. You know, I was like, whatever. And also like, my job is if I'm not working, I'm not making money. So I have to be there.
Yeah.
And hopefully by next year I don't, because the podcast is making the money. So
there we go. Let's go.
Manifesting that right now.
Yes. Thank you very much.
So I think it is important that you know, we take care of ourselves in that way. But that being said, I had like a great weekend. So Saturday I had Trey and I celebrated. We went to a restaurant, and then Sunday we had like two friends over. We just like drank, and I was like kind of depressed because I wasn't able to get. I was able to get in the queue for Taylor Swift's concert, mm-hmm. but I was like in the queue. It was 40,000 people ahead of me, and her concert was this weekend, so I wasn't able to, you know, get the tickets at face value. So I couldn't go, and it was kind of depressing. And then we just started watching the Eras Tour here, and we played Cards Against Humanity. We drank some wine. And then on Monday, after I taught my classes, went to get my nails done, because I do it every 2 weeks, so I had to go regardless. But then I had dinner with the girls. There's something about, you know, I'm a girl's girl all the way.
Yeah.
Something that about being with your girlfriends that is so healing, you know? And it can be like, the topics can go so deep and can be so shallow too.
Right.
And it's just the best fucking time. Like, I love my boyfriend, but he cannot provide that for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love that I get to separate that, you know? Like, I get this from this group of people, and I get this from him, you know?
Right.
And, oh, my God, we had a great time. I love those bitches so much. I know you love them, too. So
yeah, it looked like fun.
It was just, it was so much fun. We talked a lot. Eileen, one of our close friends, was here because it was her birthday, like, the week before. So she was here in Miami to go to a music festival and celebrate her birthday with her family. So I like texted her, and I was like, hey, you want to come, and we'll surprise the girls. So nice. They were so happy. It was just a great time, you know.
I love that. That's awesome.
And then on Tuesday I had to be working at 6 a.m so I woke up dragging ass. I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I was dizzy. I had too many Aperol spritzes, but worth it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a great time. I know. I feel like I've been talking about me for way too long now.
But it was your birthday, so you can go ahead and talk about you.
Okay, so in... Yeah, so it was just a really, really good time. And just excited because, like, now I get to put the Christmas tree up.
I know. It's pretty much, like... Halloween. So once Halloween is over, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas, yeah. Back home in my country, Christmas started October 1st.
Mm, yeah, because you guys don't do Halloween.
No, I mean, like, they do it, like, the young people, but it's not, like, a thing for us, you know? It's not, like, a seasonal, you know, part of... Mm-mm.
It's very much an American thing, Halloween.
Yeah, it's really Americanized. Mm-hmm. In that sense, it's like we only celebrate because they probably see it on social media.
Yeah, well, get some candy.
I mean, we love candy. But yeah, and it's time to put the Christmas tree up, all the fun stuff. Nice. I have not watched anything on TV that is not what we were supposed to watch, or Dance Moms.
That's okay. You've been busy.
Yeah, or busy celebrating. A little bit of Love is Blind, because Trey is watching it all the time.
So the weddings are today.
Really?
Yeah.
So exciting.
And wait, so you haven't like totally caught up with it?
No. I'm at the meeting of the families. Okay. Yeah. But I've seen a lot of stuff on TikTok. Right. Like one girl that lost a lot of weight. I'm not gonna say anything just in case you haven't seen.
Oh, I don't care about that. Okay. I mean, I'm sure like because they have the reunion, so it's been like mm-hmm. a year since all this happened or whatever. Because they even mentioned in the episode that it was like 2022. Must have been like, the fall.
Is this Nick Lachey's and Vanessa's show still?
Yeah, they're still hosting it.
Oh, so they're still going to host their reunion?
Yeah, like they literally only come in like 3 times. Once in the beginning when everyone's in the pods and they're like, "You're get ready to find your husband, get ready to find your wife." And then that's it. And then they come back when they do the dress fittings and the tux fittings for the weddings. And then they leave. And then they do the reunion.
So in the reunion, I've seen the, like, I saw a reunion a while ago. Mm-hmm.
Vanessa goes hard.
It was so bad. But it's so bad. She asks questions that she should not be asking. I don't know. They don't have, like, I don't know.
Tact?
They're not they're not sensitive enough to, I don't even know how to, like, say it. It's just, it's so annoying. Like, every time I see it, I'm like, oh, they should not be doing these questions.
It's like a police interrogation.
Yeah.
More than, like what, an interview.
Why are you huffing and puffing?
Yeah.
She gets really intense.
She gets really intense, and I think it's like she does meet these people, and maybe there is a personal side of it that gets invested of like, well, I really want these people to find love. But like they're not your friends. Yeah. I know. Like Vanessa, you're there to do a job.
You're making money out of them. So.
Right, exactly. Like you're there to do a job.
Don't pretend you care.
Yeah, I know.
I'm such a bitch, but
no,
I'm just keeping it real.
It's true. People have made comments in the past of like they're too much.
I don't like her at all because that one time that I saw that whole reunion, I was like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable right now, you know?
Yeah, which one? Because she does that like every time.
It was like
time.
2 years ago. Mm. It was one that I was like, oh, she should not be doing this. And then like, because Nick wasn't that bad, but mm-hmm. still, it's like, you guys should not just be producers. That's it.
Sure.
I don't know.
You get the ick.
Yeah. But that's, like, I haven't watched anything else. I'm trying to think if I watched anything else. There's, like, things that I need. Like, I need to watch Shrinking.
I know.
The new season
just came out.
I have not seen it yet, so. And
there's quite a few
that
things.
Show.
I loved the first season.
I thought so only good. Murders in the Building, all the episodes were out already, and they're definitely not.
I haven't started watching it because
one came out yesterday and I was like
binge.
One came out yesterday, so I was like, oh, I'm glad I haven't like really watched the whole thing.
So it must be almost done because I think there's only supposed to be like 8 to 10 episodes, and I feel like pretty much there, because it started at the end of August, and I think they released, like, the first 2 episodes. So it should be done, I think.
Probably.
But yeah, maybe. I need to watch that. I need to watch Agatha All Along.
Yes, me too. Me too. So. I heard good things about it.
Me too.
I do
want to watch it. Patti LuPone is in it.
Yeah. And I mean Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
She's like a rising star, basically. Wait, I wanted to tell you something that I just saw on TikTok. And apparently Jamie Foxx talk today. Do you see that?
I think I know where you're going, but go ahead. I was actually going to bring this up.
So, apparently he was drugged and raped.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay, wait, I don't know about this.
And,
Because Diddy, right? This is in connection with Diddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Diddy did it to him.
Okay.
That's what it said. And then I had to get ready for this. So I was like, oh my God, I need to see this whole thing. So I just paused it and saved the video.
Yeah. There's so much that's still going to be coming out. So I saw that Jamie Foxx had made a statement that the reason that he was in the hospital last year and almost died was because of Diddy. That Diddy's been poisoning him with cyanide. They found cyanide in his system like 3 different times. So, yeah. So,
why is he doing that? Like, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with this guy? Like, why is...
A power thing? I don't know. And the fact that his mom was, like, standing beside him being like, oh, my son is wonderful. I'm sorry, Mom.
Wait.
You fucked up.
Wait. I saw this whole thing because, you know, most people are like us. They want to know what made him the way that he is.
Yeah.
Diddy. So they were like looking into, you know, his past.
Mm-hmm.
He went to if I'm not mistaken, like an all boys Catholic school. Just everyone out there. This is allegedly.
I can
be talking out of my ass. This is what I remember from the TikTok that I saw. Most of my information comes from TikTok.
Hey, so, sometimes a reliable source. I mean, listen, take it with a grain of salt, but I'd say most of the time.
Well, most of them have, like, the green screen with the document behind them. Like, they're reading articles about
this. They show those receipts.
Yes. So, pretty much what happened, he was in this, like, Catholic all-boys school. And there was a lot of complaints about this priest or something. He was molesting the kids. Yes. And the year after he graduated, that priest got fired. It's a priest or a father because he was molesting the kids. And he worked there while Diddy was in that school. So he could have been a victim of that. So it's like one of those that is like the abuser makes the victim becomes the abuser.
Right. Yeah.
Which is a trend at this point.
Right. But also, it's like there are plenty of people who are abused and they don't do that. It's like,
That's true.
Yeah, it doesn't justify the behavior, like your trauma that you received to give that to someone else. Like, how fucked up you became because of it. Why would you want to put that on someone else? I don't know. I don't
understand.
That's true.
I agree with you.
But I'm also fortunate that I have never been in those circumstances.
Yeah.
I was never molested.
Like, we don't know
I've
what
never been sexually assaulted.
Like. Mm-hmm.
So, but still, I mean, that doesn't justify it. And it's like, he's like diabolical, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is another level. Because, listen, I was thinking about it. I was like, listen, R. Kelly is a piece of shit. But I feel like... Sorry, this is terrible, but you're run-of-the-mill pedophile. Like, he just liked younger girls and sexually assaulting them, raping them, peeing on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Diddy is, like, a whole other level. Because it's, like, it wasn't just women, it's men. And I'm pretty sure grown men and boys. Mm-hmm. But also grown men. Because also someone came out with this audio clip of him and LeBron James.
I know.
And see, now this is where I'm like, I don't know, because I heard the audio clip and I'm like, but also I've seen things where AI is now coming into effect, you know? So it's like, is it actual clip or was it AI generated? Because you
That's
can take
so
someone's, like, interviews that people have done, and you're using their voice, and you can clip them together to make it sound like they're really saying these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but seems like LeBron James was, excuse me, sexual with Diddy. I don't know. That's the thing. I'm like, ay, 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 what to believe, what not to believe. It's so scary. So,
I guess, like, the judges will decide and will let us know, you know, what the truth is behind all of this, which I really want to know all the celebrities.
Oh, the one time that I would really want to just go and sit in on a trial.
Yes. I'm like, who's testifying?
Like, be there, like, taking notes, like, oh, my God. Terrible, I know.
There was something that came out that Jane Doe was an 8-year-old was either raped or molested, and a celebrity was there witnessing.
Fucking terrible.
So there's a lot of shit is gonna come out. It just said like unnamed celebrity. So
right, and it just seems like so many people though are coming forward, and it's like how many people knew that this was going on and you didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How could you live with yourself? I'd like to think that I'd be a good enough person that even if I wasn't believed, that I would go to the police.
Or maybe some people did go to the police. And he had, like, a thing going on there. Like,
Sure.
You know?
I mean, that's true. He has money. So it's like, you don't know. There are cops out there who are not great. He had a way of silencing
them. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that was fucked up. And we're about to talk about a really fucked up thing. So...
You know, it's just gonna get worse.
Great segue from fucked up to even more fucked up.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we did say that we were really excited about this movie that we watched. So, what we're discussing today is Woman of the Hour, directed by Anna Kendrick.
Her debut.
Which is really, really exciting because it's the first time she's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll read the little plot and then we'll dive into it. So, Woman of the Hour tells the story of a chilling true crime moment in history when serial killer Rodney Alcala appeared on a TV dating show. The film focuses on the tension of the show, how Rodney's appearance there flew under the radar, and the ultimate repercussions of his crimes. Which I do think it focuses a little bit more on, you know, the game. It's not just the game. It just tells us more of the story. Before we dive in, I want to say that for a person that was directing for the first fucking time, she did an incredible job.
Amazing.
I was like... wow, it just felt like this is something that she's done, a professional, you know, right. Something that she's done many, many times. And it was her first time ever. So brava to Anna Kendrick. Great job.
Yeah, really good. I was impressed.
Yeah. And we know this case already. We know the case about Cheryl Bradshaw, I think is her last name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you know, it's really sad that, you know, this situation happened for a long period of time. And this guy was just, like, having the best time of his life and nobody did anything or nobody knew. And, you know, people just kept turning.
Which I think it's like, you know, Ted Bundy. These psychopaths, these sociopaths, they just have a charm about them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, especially back in the 60s, 70s, especially, where it's like, I'm sorry, but these cops, you know, they're a funk. It's like a boys' club. So it's like they go and they talk to a guy, and then at the end, you're joking LA about cops. Everything. Yeah, they're joking about everything, and it's like, oh, this guy couldn't have done it. Eh, you're fine. We'll see you later. You know, they don't take anything seriously. It's like the training back then. I don't know. I mean, obviously, cases like this are what's taught so that now, hopefully,
people entering law enforcement.
Yes, they're aware of, like, well, not every serial killer or person who commits terrible crimes looks a certain way. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be like, that they can be intelligent and charming and personable.
I wanted so to, like, it is really frustrating.
So frustrating.
But let's dive into, you know, Cheryl's story at the beginning and how they portray it. Like, from the beginning, you see they set it up so nicely. She set it up so nicely. So, basically, she's a struggling actress and she's looking, you know, for her time to shine. And, by the way, that first scene in the audition, not the first one, the audition.
Right.
It was so funny because it was so relatable, you know, especially if you ever audition and you would just go there and read lines and they wouldn't even fucking look at you. It was, as a person that did, like, I did probably more than 400 auditions and many, many times I would just go in there and be like, I feel like I just talked to a wall. Nobody was paying attention to me. So the fact that she goes in, she reads a scene, and then they're having a full-on discussion, personal. And then they turn around to her and they're like, thank you for coming.
And talking about her,
do you want me to try it in a different way?
Talking about her. Really loudly in front of her, like she's not there. Like, and she's literally like there. 2 feet away in front of them. Oh, she looks like that girl from The Thing.
Yeah.
I kind of love that.
They the did that the so thing. Funny.
Yeah.
They did great.
She's too aggressive. We don't want that. Yeah, you were great, sweetie.
Yeah. It's also like, give her the direction. She's asking for it.
Right. Do you do nudity, but though?
Yeah. When she's like, no, no.
Yeah, it's not something I'm comfortable with. Oh, okay.
That's not for me.
Right.
No.
Not every woman has to show their tits.
Oh my gosh. And then, you know, just from that moment, you know who she is, which is,
she's intelligent, so she's strong, she's smart.
And, like, when they're like, Cheryl, and they confuse her, they're calling somebody else, and she's like, yeah. And they're like, oh, no. And she's like, oh, right. You're not calling me. You're calling somebody else.
Right. I love her little conversation in the car when she's like, yeah, you could just, I don't know, talk to me like I'm there or not. It's great.
Yeah.
Ah! You know.
I know. It's so true.
Yeah.
She did a really great job portraying that character and directing herself.
Moving forward is like, I think it's so funny because you said we know exactly who she is, and it's like you could tell she's independent, smart, strong, like just like a feminist, you know. And when she goes into her apartment and she like sees the guy and she's like, oh fuck, I have to go, and like she goes, and like he is a nice guy, but you could tell he's into her, she's not into him, and then they end up going and like getting a drink. And when he, like, touches her, and she's like, oh, whoa, sorry, I just had a weird day, I wasn't expecting it. And it's like, that was the time, you know, of when women were...
They were so polite.
Yes, exactly, that's the thing, is, like, they didn't want to hurt men's egos, they didn't want to hurt their feelings, instead of being like, hey, listen, I just see you as a friend... And the next thing you know, like, she's in bed with him. Like, she slept with him. And it's like, you know that she did it because she felt bad and didn't want to hurt his feelings. Yes, it was a pity fuck.
A pity fuck.
Right, because she's laying there like, oh, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, but those were the times. And
back
it's just
day,
so
baby.
Frustrating, but it's kind of nice that it's like, how we have come far in that regard, where it's like, if women don't want to fucking 100%. Do something, we're like, get the fuck away from me. Yep. Like, I don't want to talk to you. Yep. Bye.
Yeah. Ugh. I agree. We've come a long way.
Right.
Let's talk about that first scene, actually, right before they show the audition scene, which is Rodney with, like, one of the victims. You know, these fucking predators are just, like, the most awful human beings, because this victim is telling him, like, a really personal story about, you know, her ex and how she was pregnant and she was excited, and then he just fucking left her, basically, and abandoned her. Mm-hmm. And which, by the way, you know who she is. She's from Pitch Perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
She's worked with Anna Kendrick 3 times already, so I'm sure that audition was not like the audition that they showed
up. I feel like Anna probably called her and was like, hey, do you want to play this part? And she's probably like, yeah.
She did a great job, because, you know, I don't know if you remember when he, like, touches her neck. Uh-huh. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, like the way she reacts immediately to it.
It's your women's intuition. Like, that flag goes up and you're like, oh, no. Like, what the fuck is happening? I'm in danger. Like, you just know as a woman.
Is also his, you know, his tactic. Listen, it's really hard for serial killers to get away with shit like that now. Like, his tactic of, like, oh, let's do a photo shoot. I'll drive us there. You know, you just hop in his car and he takes you fucking hundreds of miles away just for a fucking photo.
Right.
That doesn't really happen anymore. But back then,
it was like hitchhiking. Like that
all the time.
Happen all the time. And like any woman, a man comes up to you and he's like, hey, I'm a photographer, like, I want to enter this contest, you'd be a great subject. I mean, that is flattering. Yeah. You know, or like, hey, you could be a model, you know, like, this could be my big break. Like, who didn't want to be Farrah Fawcett, you know, back in the 70s?
Yeah.
So of course, like, you're gonna go along with it.
Yeah. And, you know, we see that encounter, and it's just, like, fucking awful. You know, the fact that he kind of, like, almost kills her, but he doesn't let them die. Then he rapes them, and then he murders them.
Right.
It's just so low. Like, I don't even know how to call it, because it's like, you already hit me so hard that I'm in so much fucking pain right now, and now you're just gonna make it worse for me.
Right.
You know? And more humiliating, basically, for them. Like, I don't know the feeling, you know? Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's also, like, at the point that he's like, he physically destroys them for them not to be able to fight back. You know, so he murders them, and thank goodness they did not show any of that. It was more like,
I kind of appreciate, you know, that.
I was really well done in that sense. And then after that, they show us basically his next victim, which is going to be the girl that is, like, moving into that apartment.
Right. Well, they do bounce around a lot time-wise. Like, it'll be, like, 1979, 1972. So it's, like, all over the place to try to keep up. But also that just shows you, like, the time span that
years,
he did this.
Years, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck, sorry.
Poor T-Bone Ski.
I know. Oh, my God. Okay. I put a cough drop in, so hopefully that'll help.
Yeah, so when they show us the one with the girl that is, like, moving into that apartment, and, you know, it's pretty much a moment of desperation with the girl, you know, and has all that furniture
on the street. You think you're just going to ask, like, oh, like, a nice guy, he'll help me. Well, it's fine.
Yeah, like, how will you even second guess that when you have you know, a person that's like starting to fucking help you, but then
right.
I want to talk about, you know, that actor Daniel something. His last name is, I'll tell you right now, I have it here. Daniel Zovato. Oh god, I am messing that up. I have it here.
Zovato, yeah.
Zovato, Daniel Zovato. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He does such a good job at being like fine, like everything is fine, and then like a switch, you know, in his eyes when he's like, can I take a picture of you?
Right.
Which is the creepiest shit right. ever. You know, it's like she was like, oh, you know, like, you know, maybe not now or something like that, she says. And
because even before that, she was like, hey, thanks so much for the help, but like, I have so much to do here, which is basically like, okay, thanks for your help, now get the fuck out.
Get out.
But
yeah.
Again, that's the whole thing where it's like, women don't want to be mean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. instead of, like, if she had just been like, okay, like, I need you to leave now. Like, I appreciate yeah. your help, but, like, you have to go.
Yeah.
And then she just continues to have a conversation.
In the meantime, they're also showing this back and forth of, you know, Cheryl, which Anna Kendrick's mm-hmm. a character, being in the dating game mm-hmm. show. So
right.
they're showing her, like, choosing, you know, like, three bachelors. And obviously the psychopath or the sociopath is the one with the best answers, knows what to do, because this is already, he's good at this game, you know, right? Because
he knows what women want to hear.
Exactly. He's been playing that for so long, you know. Now he's right. just doing it on national television.
Yeah.
They also show through that moment a friend of one of the victims that is in the show, watching this show, realizing that this was the last person that saw, that was with her best friend, that
right.
was raped and
probably
murdered,
the one who
so.
Yeah, murdered her, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that whole thing is happening in between the cases, which I think is genius, because
mm-hmm.
you, I think watching the, just that dating game scenes, like, watching them back-to-back would have been kind of annoying. So having them, like, to break in between, because some moments were really, like, a comedic relief, you know?
Sure.
Like, oh, my God, I'm breathing. But then, you know, they had the moments of, like, the best friend being in the audience, you know, like, getting the TV, the monitor down, you know, when she was trying to walk out, and how she was treated when she tried to speak up.
Right.
You know?
She like, when she goes to see something. The producer... That was fucked up, and it ends up being the janitor.
It's the janitor, and not even her boyfriend believes her right away.
Oh, I know. I love that she was like, get out. I need you to get out right
yeah.
now.
Yep. Yeah, because also, like, if you don't believe me, who's going to believe me? You know?
Right. Right. Yeah. But I think that's so many men, too, is like, oh, like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, we're guys. Like, we don't think other guys do these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Women are all crazy.
Oh, God.
What I was going to say before, when mm-hmm. You were talking about that first scene when he's taking pictures of that woman, and like mm-hmm. when you were saying how she was being so open about her past, it just goes to another level of the, like, I don't know, like, psychopathy with this guy. Because I feel like, you know, you've probably watched...
He lets them be vulnerable.
Right, and they're... But also humanizing them. Because mm-hmm. when I tell you, like, a trauma that's happened to me, or, like, these things that hurt me, I think that humanizes a person. And it makes them vulnerable. It shows this side of someone. And it should mm-hmm. make you feel more connected. And I just feel like... With all of that, the fact that he could still commit these rapes and murders,
mm-hmm.
like, you have to be so fucked up. So yeah. fucked up. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've watched, like, I Survived, or like any of those other things where victims who have had these things happen to them and they try to humanize themselves with their kidnappers or these people who want to rape them and murder them, and they try to appeal to them, you know, like, hey, I'm a person too. And most of the time it works. And they're like, okay, like, I can't do this.
So
the fact that it's like that kind of shit did not work on him.
I wonder if he like disassociates or something.
Or like what happened that he just like, hated women so much?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he must have just hated women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just, like, makes me so... Ugh.
It's fucking terrible, though.
It's horrible. It's like, and again, like, I want to know what's going on in their head. Like, what's their brain chemistry? Like, what trigger said? Why is it satisfying to him? Like, what happened in his past? Because it's always like that. Like, people are not born like that. It's usually from a kind of trauma, you know? So I'm like, what happened that this is his way of being happy or, you know, satisfying himself? Which is super disgusting.
Right. Definitely a control thing, for sure.
Talking about that, I wanted to go to the last victim that they show. Her name was Amy in the movie, which, by the way, I looked up the actress because I think she did an amazing job.
And the Runaway, right?
This is her second job ever. She grew up in theater. And this is her second filming job. You know, but let's talk about that part after he almost kills her, but then after he rapes her, where he's crying.
I know, piece of shit.
Unbelievable. I was like, this is no. Like, thank goodness they show, you know, that she's tight. Okay, so Amy, the guy is like crying next. The guy's disgusting. Crying next to her, but, like, crying. Like, and the way she, like, opens her eyes, gasping for air, because God knows how many injuries she has already, you know?
Like, he beat the shit out of her.
He beat the shit out of her, and then he raped her, and then she's tied up, and in that moment, she realizes, I'm with a fucking sociopath right now. You know,
yeah,
this is really fucking bad. So that her facial expression, realizing that, and the way she starts talking to him, that she's like, can we keep this between us?
Like, she did something wrong. Like, I'd be so embarrassed. Let's go back to your place, babe.
She said, the way she said baby was what made me look her up, because I could hear the nervousness in her voice, which was an amazing acting choice. And again, I'm gonna be giving kudos to Anna Kendrick, because I don't know if she was a casting director, I know she was just a director, but to get an actor to do that is
exactly just
beautiful. You know, and the way she said baby, like her, like she, God.
And then when they're walking to the car, and you can tell that it's like taking everything for her not to just run the fuck away from this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, she's wants to get away from him. So, yes, you can tell she's like, how to get out of this. And that, to me, like, when you hear again about these women who survive, it's these type of women. Like, they are so smart. Mm-hmm. Of, like, how do I appeal to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, having had talked to him a little bit the day before and, like, learning about him. Okay, how can I use that to my advantage to get out of this situation?
Yeah.
And she was just so smart about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you see her in the car, too, when there's that truck in the intersection. Mm-hmm. That he's waiting to see if she's going to do something. But mm-hmm. she's like, she realizes this is not the time. Like, I'm still in the middle right. of nowhere. There's not a lot of people here, you know?
Right.
Until they get to that gas station, you know? And she's like, this is it, you know? He's trusting me to be leaving me by myself. And there's a fucking restaurant right across the street with people in it.
Right.
So, it's just... So she portrayed that beautifully. I can't believe that was her second job on TV, you know?
Yeah, no, me either. She did great.
She did amazing.
Yeah, she was fantastic. Yeah.
I also wanted to talk about the girl that played the best friend, the black girl. Her name is Nicolette. She's like, mm-hmm. she's not like, she's Leslie Odom's wife.
What?
Yeah. Really? I looked her up because I think she did an amazing job. And when she's like, tell you.
Are you telling me a fun fact right now?
I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't have that. I didn't have
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
So thank
good.
You. Yes. No, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, I looked her up because honestly, I kept going over. I was like, there was not one bad actor there.
Mm-mm.
And I don't want to say bad actor. Bad actors doesn't exist. Not a bad performance.
Yeah.
You know? Like, waitress in that scene of Anna, of Cheryl with fucking the psychopath.
Rodney, yeah.
With Rodney. When she...
Psychopath is fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even name him. Fuck
either
him.
Or.
Yeah.
When...
He's like when a second round.
Uh-huh.
And
when
he's turned around. No. Right. And I also fucking love that in this movie where it's like women are for women because mm-hmm. they know that men just look at them like a piece of meat. So it's like women have to stand up for each other. So it's like the makeup artist when she told Cheryl, like, you're doing great, honey. Like, just have fun with it. Like, just
be
you.
What, is he gonna fire you?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, he's not going to see you again, so just do whatever the fuck you want. And she did, which I loved. And then, mm-hmm. the waitress being like, oh, you missed it. Last call.
Yep. I love that she did that. Because, again, like, the date, obviously, he's already a psychopath, but the date was going well, and then there was, like, a switch when they didn't agree on something.
Right. It was because he called her, he said that her soul, she had like a...
Dark? Was it...
Like, he compared her to an artist, like a musical artist of the time. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I can't remember who it is now. Like a Janis Joplin or something, whatever. Mm-hmm. He was like,
yes,
about you. And she was like, really? I don't think so. And it was like her disagreeing with him. And he was like, took a drink and like... kind of slammed it down, and you could tell she was like, oh no, I gotta get out of here. Like, a guy for him to get that upset just for being like, oh no, I don't really think
so. I can't get over that. Gross. Yes.
Sick.
Disgusting. Yeah. So that, again, like, the guy does the switch, and that part when they're finally leaving the date, and the close-ups in their faces, and then when she starts walking, the white, like, how it, the screen went like wide and you can see everything,
right?
Oh god.
And he's
so,
like, can
well
I get your number?
And she's, and when, like, he's, oh, like, can you tell
yeah
about
sure
me?
That, like, that whole scene just, like, oh my, it made me so nervous. And it's mm-hmm. like, no one is in the parking lot, no
nobody
one's out there.
It's the middle of the night, darkness.
Right, right, exactly. So just, like, as a woman being like, fuck.
And she's, like,
feeling in her, too.
Wait, but when she doesn't give him the right number, and she's like, yeah, there's no way I'm going out with you, and then he whispers.
Mm.
I could, like, bash your head or something like that.
Yeah, and she was like,
What? And she turns around and she just looks at him for a long time. She stares at him. And she's like, what?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I would have ran. I would have ran in my fucking car. Fuck that.
Well,
but again, I'm surprised that she said something to him, though, you know, because the whole thing of, like, going along and, like, being demure and whatever, and the fact that she's like, I'm not going anywhere with you.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised, but also, like, yes, thank you. Like, fuck this guy.
Oh, my God. And with his fucking long hair. Gross.
It was a little too long. I mean, if they were trying to make him look like the real Rodney O'Call, it was a little too long.
I didn't even look up a picture of him. I looked up a picture of Cheryl. I was like, I don't want to give him the gratification.
I don't know how people thought Rodney O'Call was good looking.
Yeah, that whole like dinner to the car thing had me on the edge the whole time.
Talk about so good nervous. Performances, yeah. Good direction. It was just a really, really well done. Again, like, kudos to her for, you know, making the decisions she made while she was filming this.
Right, because I feel also it's like, as a woman, and you go out with your friends, you know, you have a night out, or like you go on a date with a guy, or you encounter a guy at a bar or nightclub. I think, like, most of us have had that feeling of unease.
And with also, a guy. Like, sometimes I watch these things and I'm like, I'm surprised nothing ever happened to me.
Oh my gosh, girl. Seriously? No, me too. The shit that I did, like, especially just meeting guys at their places. Like, I had never met them before, like, and I would connect, like, with them on a dating app and be like, oh, I'll go over to your place. What the fuck, like, was I thinking?
Or the bar being close to their place. Not to your place, their place.
Yeah. 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 No, I'm really shocked that nothing
universe, super thank serious. You for protecting me.
Seriously.
Like, yeah. If I ever had like a bad feeling of someone, it was never like a date. It was just like out there with a group of people. Like, it was never.
Sure.
But I can't fucking imagine what it would feel like going out on a date and then having that fucking feeling of there's something wrong here.
Yeah. Then that's what I'm saying. Women's intuition. Like, we just have this feeling. And it's like, mm-hmm. when you know, go. Like, your gut is right telling away. You something.
Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to bring up was, again, the actors that did not have, like, leading roles, but were mm-hmm. crushing it. The host of the show.
Tony Hale? I love him.
Tony Hale. So we had the host of the show. We had the hairdressers and, like, the stylists of the show.
Love them.
We had the waitress. We also had the boyfriend of the girl. An amazing job. The parents. The agent on the phone. I was like, the choices of the performers for this movie, of the actors for this movie, was top tier. Like,
well, the two guys, Bachelor One and Bachelor Two.
Bachelor One, like, Bachelor Two. They did great. The casting directors in the audition.
Mm-hmm. All the neighbor. Women, all the women who were victims. Like,
yes, all the women that were victims. All of them. It was just, you know, and I'm sure it was a low budget film, you know. It was, I don't have a bad thing to say about it. If anything, I just wanted more.
More, yeah. Even, you know? The guy who worked at the LA Times. when Rodney was like, oh, if you want to like come with me, and then like later when he's in the bathroom because he just got interviewed by the police,
yeah,
and he's like shaking and kind of crying, and then he hears him like cough in the bathroom, and he's like, yeah, sorry man, I can't go. Like, even just that, I was like, I feel his nervousness of being like, I don't want to be around this dude at all. And being like scared. Like, I thought he was going to choke him out in the bathroom.
Me fucking too. I, like, my hairs. I was like, oh no. Also, boys. I was like, also the boys too. Gross. This guy is disgusting.
Yeah.
Because the fact that he would like need them to be unconscious, like that's all I think about, you know? Ugh. Okay. So, do you have fun facts?
I have a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dive into it.
Okay.
Let's dive into it because I did listen to two podcasts that they interviewed Anna Kendrick. So,
oh, cool, great, okay. So, yeah, if you have anything to add, please.
I'll dive in. Yeah.
So yeah, some of this is about the movie, the making of the movie, and then some of it is, you know, what was in the movie versus what was, you know, the really case. Happened. Yeah. So
I'm dying to know those things.
Okay, cool. So I have quite a few things. So okay. Buckle up, bitches.
Put my seatbelt on.
I love it. I love it. All right. So some of Cheryl's bad experiences as an aspiring actor mirror Anna Kendrick's own. So there was a comment that was made about Cheryl's breasts that was lifted verbatim from something that happened to Anna when she was 19. So it's like, you hope that like we've come far, but.
Not that far, I guess.
Not that far. Yeah. Like that shit still happens. It's like, fuck. Cause the misogyny, Jesus Christ.
That conversation of them too was just, I had no words.
Well, and like the Bachelor number two being like, yeah, I can't do anything less than a C cup. Ugh. Sick. And like, how big is your thing, sweetie?
Probably a pinky.
Yeah, a little carrot. All right. The real Rodney Alcala graduated from the UCLA School of Fine Arts, and he later studied film under Roman Polanski at NYU. Anna Kendrick cut a scene from the film in which Alcala discusses Polanski's accusations of drugging and raping 13-year-old Samantha Geimer in 1977. Which I do think is interesting in a few ways.
Wow. Also, yeah.
Sorry, not just like the fact that he studied under Roman Polanski and he was someone who like raped women and like was interested in underage girls, and I don't know. Netflix acquired the film for $11 million shortly after its world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival.
Okay.
So I'm guessing, is that how that works? Like, you show the movie at a film festival and then, like,
yeah,
these streaming services like, buy it?
Yeah, I think it also, like, depends on the critics, too, because... Mm.
Of course.
Like, let's say this movie is one of those that could, like, qualify to one of those festivals.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Hitman is not a movie that would qualify for that. You know what I mean?
It's not. Oh, I thought it's Oscar not. Worthy.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially the improv scene. Never forget.
Moving on. The movie was originally titled Rodney and Cheryl, and then later became The Dating Game. But then obviously, Woman of
You
the
became
Hour,
Woman
which
of
I
the Hour.
like.
I like it
I
too.
like that.
I like it way better than all those other names.
Yeah, same. Oh,
Also,
I love
don't give
this.
Rodney a name.
I know. Fuck him, man.
Yeah. What
Seriously.
an asshole.
Piece of shit. So again, we mentioned that this was Anna Kendrick's debut as a director. So originally she was set to just star in it only, but then she found support from Paul Feig and Brittany Snow, who she worked with on Pitch Perfect. So but they were like, you should do that, because I'm sure that it's like a lot of actors sort of get the bug anyway of like, maybe I wouldn't mind doing like behind the camera. So it's like you mention it and they're like, yeah, go for it. You know? Which, yeah, I thought she did great. Sally Field was actually on The Dating Game in 1965, and also appearing on the show, Don Johnson, Burt Reynolds, who were both bachelors, and Michael Jackson was on as a child. So I don't know if he like performed or something.
Let's
But
hope it was performing if it was a child.
seriously, ooh, what the fuck?
Oof.
The real Rodney Alcala was born to Mexican American parents, and the gentleman who plays Rodney, Daniel
Costa
Zovato,
Rica.
he is Costa Rican. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that
Oh, did you?
one. Latino
Okay.
represent, baby.
There we go. There we go. Okay, so we were talking about the scene when they're in the little like tiki bar. So Anna Kendrick rewrote that scene the night before shooting it. So she said that there was a moment where the waitress knocked over their drinks and Rodney got kind of aggressive, but it didn't feel right. So she changed it to her escape route being the signaling to the waitress of like, don't serve me
Like,
another drink,
don't.
which I love so much more. And I feel like it's way more realistic as a woman where you just sort of
I
like
think so too.
look in each other's eyes and it's like you could just tell you're like, no, don't do it, you know? So I'm glad she changed that. Good call.
I'm glad too. Yeah.
So I'm like all over the place with these, but during Rodney Alcala's trial, his penalty phase of his trial in 2010, he played Arlo Guthrie's 1967 song Alice's Restaurant, in which the narrator tries to avoid being drafted for the Vietnam War by trying to persuade a psychiatrist that he's unfit for the military because of his supposed extreme desire to kill. The jury took only an afternoon to sentence Alcala to death. I wonder
Yeah, like what the fuck?
why. It like total Ted Bundy though, where it's like he thinks that he's smarter than everybody else and he can like get himself out of these things, and people like you see through that shit. You're like, what a fucking moron.
Yeah, what
Good.
an idiot.
Seriously. And he is dead. He died at the age of 77. Too old. Should have been
Too
younger.
old, yeah.
But July 24th, 2021, in California prison at Corcoran.
Okay.
This is insane to me. Rodney Alcala had appeared on the show even after serving 2 terms for molesting 2 girls under the age of 13, including an
Jesus
8-year-old
fucking
whom he had
Christ.
raped and beaten. Also, unbeknownst to the police at the time, Alcala had raped and murdered at least 5 women in the months before the broadcast. So it's like he was already like a serial killer at that
They're like,
point.
oh, let's just have him in this show.
What was the vetting process? I wonder. But again, he was charming.
None.
So they're probably like, oh, you seem like, you know, a good guy. You're a photographer. Like, you got a good job. You're charismatic. You can be on the show. That's fine.
Wow,
Sick.
that's disgusting
Seriously. Like,
for babies.
I have so many more.
Okay.
Oh, God. Sorry. Okay. Well, the real Cheryl probably never went for a drink with Rodney after taping. Thank God. She did tell the show's contestant coordinator that she was getting weird vibes and didn't feel comfortable seeing him outside the show. That's what I'm
Oh,
saying. Women's intuition. Like, you
intuition.
just fucking know. And their trip was not to Carmel, it was to Magic Mountain Theme Park.
Where the
I don't even know if I didn't look up if it even exists anymore today, but it's
fuck is
probably just like
that?
a little tiny theme park, probably like outside of LA or something. But at least that would be like a day trip. Can you imagine going like on a getaway with someone that you've just met?
No.
Well, Bachelor number two may not have given Cheryl a verbal warning about Alcala, because, you know, when he like gives her the
Yeah.
double kiss and is like, watch out for that asshole. So that may not have happened. But in interviews, he did say that Rodney had mentioned in the green room that he always gets the girl. And he described Rodney as creepy and that he was a strange guy with bizarre opinions. So it's like even the guys are like picking up on like this guy's fucking weird. Which I do think that says a lot too. Like if guys don't get along with other guys, yeah,
It's
it
really rare,
makes
yeah.
right. It makes me wonder about them. It is true that in 1979, Alcala picked up a 15-year-old runaway who he raped and nearly strangled. Her name is Monique Hoyt, and he picked her up while she was hitchhiking. So after he raped her, she did manage to escape by convincing him she wanted to continue the relationship and was unable to raise the alert to the police. However, they did not arrive in time to arrest Alcala, which is insane to me. But eventually, like, he does get caught, he goes to prison, and then during his last appeal trial, when she testified against him in 2010, and it was to see whether or not he would get the death penalty. And this was, I'm sorry. So whether he should get the death penalty for the rape and murder of four women and a 12-year-old girl. He had previously been assigned to death row for these crimes, but had the penalty overturned on technicalities. We love our judicial system.
Oh my God.
I know. Far from being remarkably collected right after her attack, even 31 years later, Hoyt was so unnerved by the prospect of seeing Alcala again, she needed an LAPD detective to sit with her in the courtroom and told the jury that Alcala had ruined her life.
Poor baby.
Know. It's fucking sad. I mean, the fucking
I'm
trauma,
so sorry.
though. My God. So Alcala did work at the LA Times in 1979. But he worked as a typesetter, not a photographer, although he was frequently hired as a wedding photographer,
Oh God.
which
Oh
also
God.
just so creepy.
Exposed to so much too.
And can you imagine him like being at those weddings, like hunting
Yes.
grounds? Yeah.
Yes. Exposed to
And
too
like
many
people
people.
are drinking, girls are drinking. Like, see, that's why I
A
think
safe
that,
space. You think you're in a safe space.
right, you're having fun with your family and friends, and I think that's also why, because they mentioned at the end of the movie that even though he was only convicted for like eight murders, that it could be as many as 130.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking insane. But again, it's like he didn't necessarily have like a type, you know, like the age was in kind of a bigger range. Like, yes, female, but could be anybody, really. So scary.
Insane.
So Alcala's second known victim was 23-year-old flight attendant Cornelia Crilly. So we did see her in the movie. He actually strangled her with the stocking, not the scarf that we see. And she had just moved into her apartment. So actually Alcala, he attended NYU under the name John Berger. He didn't even go under Rodney Alcala. He went by John Berger.
I wonder why.
Right. And while he was at NYU, we know that he studied under Polanski, and his obsessive need to take photographs. They think that it might have been because he saw a movie in class. So it was called Peeping Tom. And there's like a photographer in the movie, and they create a tripod with a dagger in one of the legs of the tripod so that he can film his victim's death agonies. So yeah, some people think that maybe this was inspiration. The fucking terrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
All right. Last one, and then I promise I'm done with my novel.
Yeah.
So Anna Kendrick told Rolling Stone in an interview that the character that we see in the dating game, that girl who's like my friend, Allison, and okay. So that's not based off of a real person. That is more of a composite. So it was meant to represent all the people who tried to report Alcala over the years and were ignored, and all the leads that were allowed to go cold. So, for example, the Crilly case, Cornelia, the second victim, that case went cold for 40 years.
Wow.
That's insane. That's insane. So after that murder, Alcala left New York and got a job as a counselor at an arts camp for girls.
No.
Yeah, he was only picked up by the police because two campers saw his photo on the FBI's 10 most wanted list on a visit to the local post office. California police wanted to charge him with murdering an 8-year-old girl, Tali Shapiro, after beating and raping her with a metal bar, but her family had left the country. I remember this. She's alive. She's been interviewed. With no main witness, prosecutors had to offer Alcala a deal if he pleaded guilty to the lesser charge of child molestation. The judge gave Alcala a sentence of a mere 1 year to life, and he was paroled and back on the streets after only 34 months. Because they do mention in the movie that, like, he was out on bail, and then
on bail,
like, he went and killed.
I just don't understand how there's no, like, life sentence for child molesters. Like, how is that even, like, how is it not, like, a standard? You molested a child, you could either die or you're going to prison for the rest of your life. Like, how is that not the thing, the law?
Because, I'm sorry, people who have that urge, it's a sickness, and I don't really think that there's any, it's the word that I'm looking for in my foggy brain. There's no way to come back from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there's no healing. There's no
rehabilitation.
No healing.
I was trying to be more fancy. No rehabilitation. Like, there's no cure for that. So it's, and especially people, I'm sorry, the majority of the time when you hear these stories of they molest, they rape, they murder, you know, it's an escalation.
Is yeah, always,
So,
always, always, always.
like, you get caught once, send them. I think there also should be like a separate prison for people who do that, you know.
Yeah, so maybe the other prisoner should kill them, so.
I know. Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because a lot of the time they don't last in regular prison.
No,
And
you know, it's
pedophiles,
karma.
bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, you wanna hurt little kids? Bye.
Bye. In the interviews that I listened to, she was talking, she did say that it she had wanted to, you know, direct something, but she hadn't felt like connected to anything yet. And then when this one came out and she felt the support for it from some of her peers, you know, she and friends, she was like, okay, I'll do it, you know. But then she also said that after she was done with the project, she had to like take a break from watching like films or TV series, that she could only watch like the news, because she said that she was so in her head about it that she kept like questioning everything that she was watching. She was like, why, what was that, a character's choice, or was that the director choosing? Did they cut it, or did they just choose to leave it like that? She was like, I wasn't enjoying myself. But she said that this also happened to her when she started having like bigger roles on the screen, that she was in her head so much about it after finishing every project that she would like watch TV and she would think of all the things. So she was saying that she'll hopefully that, you know, that was just because it was her first time being a director, you know, and that it'll go away once she does it more often. Because she was like, I had to, I couldn't put anything else on the TV. It was just like the news, because that I wouldn't second guess like how they directed that or like the acting choices, you know. So yeah, and she's like, I'm gonna sound really cocky about it, but it's just, you know, I'm like, no, she sounds truthful, you know. I can't imagine, you know, putting that new hat on and then, you know, experiencing life normal after, you know, taking on this huge role, you know, of directing in a movie,
I mean, that
which
is
I
like
think
a
she
big
did
deal. I
amazing.
thought she did great. So don't second guess yourself, Anna. It was
Yeah,
fantastic.
she
Like,
did
I like a
really good.
lot of
She.
the angles where it was like the women in the car, so like you could see their reflections, or like even at the end when you see Rodney get in the car, he closes it and the mirror, and you see the Amy sitting in the passenger seat, just like little things like that. I was like, oh, that's so
Yeah, and she
cool.
was really, she said it that she was really purposeful with those things. She even talked about like what I had said before when they are in the parking lot, how she wanted it to be like really personal and then zoom out and see like that he's suddenly out of nowhere fucking following her, you know? And she said that she kept asking herself like the questions that you would ask yourself as a victim, you know, like, is he following me? Like that, like sixth sense that we have, like she kept going in there to, you know, take those point of views into the screen, which I think she did an amazing job with, you know, because I felt like I was like, I wanted all this point of views that she gave me is what I wanted, you know?
See, and I think that makes a difference. Like she said, everything was with intention. Everything. I think also being a woman, I'm sorry, but like being a woman and having probably had those experiences, maybe not to like full extent, but like I said, we all like feel these things sometimes. So I think just having that.
Yeah, so she was saying these things of like, you know, everything. She's like, would I do, you know, what would I do? And so she tried to get all those, and I think that's why the film was
It
so
was so
well
good.
directed.
Exactly.
She did an
Good
amazing job.
job,
So
Anna.
we obviously, both Tracy and I, are giving you thumbs up. We're
Two
also
thumbs
giving
up.
you
It was great.
two thumbs up. Oh!
I love when it does that.
Yay! I think you have to like smile or something like that for it to happen. If you
I
don't,
know
it's
me,
not gonna
thank you.
happen. So the Rotten Tomatoes score is 91%,
Oh, nice.
which we
Good.
definitely agree with. The
Yeah.
audience was 69%, but it's still coming in. Like they're
Yeah.
still, you know, I don't think a lot of
Right.
people have seen it yet. I don't think a lot of people know that this is based on real and in a true crime story.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. It I hope she does take on more roles like this of like directing in
Yeah.
film because she's really, really talented, and I'm so glad she took the risk. You know, it's so funny that I can't believe this is her first time doing that because he just felt so professional. She also said that they did it, you know, like everything was like with in a time crunch. He didn't have a lot of time to like film this. It wasn't like a big budget, you know. So
Wow,
everything had to be
well,
like,
good for her.
yeah. So it's really, really good for it to be her first projects like that. We definitely recommend it, guys. So if you have not seen it, you've probably seen it if you're listening to this, but if you haven't, we do
Yeah.
recommend. It's lovely. It's a fucked up story, but it's really well told. And that's pretty much it for today. That's it. We hope Tracy feels better
Yeah,
by next week.
sorry.
She will. She will.
I
She needs
will.
a lot of hot tea on that throat, baby. it's awful.
Sucks.
Just
It's
make
just like
sure you
awful.
subscribe, rate, review. Tell us what you want us to watch. We will be taking a break in like a month, I think it is.
Yeah,
Which
for
is
December.
exciting, you know, because it'll give me opportunity to create more social media content because we have a lot. We have a lot to create with. I just haven't had the time. So really exciting for what I see that.
Trying to hold on.
I will conclude the recording. Don't worry, Tracy. Tracy
I
is
know, I'm
here.
like dying
She's
here.
smiling. She's coughing. And rate,
Sweating through
review, and
the mucus.
subscribe. Like all of our social media content, comment on it, and let us know what we should judge next time. Okay. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.